This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Don and Peter, as we continue our K-less week, Michael will be back on Monday. 2 weeks from today, Peter, the Major League Baseball season begins.
You talking about sports?
Yeah, we're talking about sports. And we're going to have Jeff Passan on a little bit later on. Trey Wingo, usually is Wingo Wednesday, but today he's on Thursday at 4 o'clock. Alan Hahn's our special guest for Last One Standing, as I want to try to see if I can make it two in a row.
The only thing better than a Wingo Wednesday, I've been told, is a Wingo Thursday.
Wingo Thursdays are always better. Ugh. You should wait, a little bit more anticipation. I think that's important. But listen, we're 2 weeks away. And I was thinking about this as we enter into Diamond Notes on the Michael K. Show, brought to you by New York Community Bank and the NYCB family of banks. Baseball's been under a lot of criticism during the pandemic for just the way they flat out dropped the ball on their negotiations and how ugly it got and just how honestly backwards thinking it was, and really blew an opportunity to have the landscape to themselves for a long period of time and to try to extend an olive branch and quite frankly, Peter, just see if they could not maybe win some fans back over after baseball's kind of suffered by, you know, disconnecting with the youth of America over the last decade or so. But I was thinking about it today. Basketball and hockey have somewhat been stagnant with any kind of real news. I mean, hockey's obviously got their CBA together, but we're still on August 1st. You know, we're still 3 weeks away from the start of the playoffs there. Basketball, really, Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, the only news that we've gotten over the last couple of weeks has just been positive tests. You know, they're going to be in Orlando, but really it's kind of been negative in the sense of who doesn't want to play, who's testing positive, the spike in Florida, is it a mistake that they're having the hub in Orlando? Well, baseball, since all the negativity around the positivity of the other sports, it's kind of gone the other way, where, hey, they're actually at Citi Field. They're actually at Yankee Stadium. They're practicing. They're scrimmaging. We're very close to the Mets and Yankees playing an exhibition game. And today, we're 2 weeks away from the Yankees actually playing the Nationals. Tomorrow will be 2 weeks away from the Mets taking on the Braves. And maybe they didn't get as an extended period of time, Peter, with the landscape to themselves, but they still kind of got it. They're going to have a full week of games before the NBA and the NHL get started. And right now, as they're playing and you look at Twitter and reporting, you know, who's doing this, who's doing that, who's got the pressure on them, it's been really a lot of baseball. From the X's and O's standpoint, there's been more baseball to discuss than anything else.
Yeah, and, you know, even when the NBA gets started, there's some meaningful games there, and obviously people will be excited at first, Don, but you still have a couple of weeks until the playoffs start.
Great point. And especially, and the intriguing thing locally, the Nets.
Not intriguing.
But it's not intriguing because nobody's playing.
No.
Although it looks like they're gonna sign Michael Beasley to a contract, right?
Oh.
They've got a few guys that they're going to try to get off the scrap heap to come play.
That's always a good start. When you start with scrap heap, you know it's good.
But, you know, there would be a little bit of buzz about the Nets solidifying that playoff position and entering into the playoffs. But, Peter, I think there's a lack of buzz because they don't have really any stars on the team. It doesn't seem like anybody's going to be able to play. But you make an excellent point, too, which I had not considered. When the NBA starts up, it's going to be those eight games.
Yeah.
And outside of Portland and Sacramento and San Antonio, where the games may mean something because they might be able to make up ground and get in, they're going to be looked upon by a lot of people as just exhibition games until we get to the postseason. Like, if you're a Laker fan, which there are a lot of Laker fans around the United States, you're a Celtic fan, I mean, you got to look at those eight games as, let's just get to the playoffs. I mean, how engaged are you going to be in those games knowing that you're going to be in the playoffs no matter what?
Yeah, like, listen, you'll be interested to see what it all looks like. So the first couple of games, especially with the national TV games, you'll go, okay, let's see what this bubble looks like for basketball. Let's see how rusty these players look. Let's just get the overall feel.
Right.
Let's see how they're doing the messaging around social justice. But I think, Don, by the second, third game, your people are going to be like, all right, wake me up for the playoffs.
They'll just get to the playoffs. Now, hockey, I'm going to be intrigued because of the best of five, because locally the Rangers and the Islanders are going to be in those series to try to get into the postseason. So there's going to be a postseason feel for it, while the teams with the quote-unquote bye will play around Robin to determine seeding. So there's not a lot of interest there. But I think there'll be a lot of interest around the Rangers and Islanders, because we haven't touched on this, Peter, at all, that a Ranger loss or an Islander loss in the first round, in that preliminary round, can get them the first overall pick in the draft. Because when they had the lottery, remember we told you about that, like, that letter system, like each team was designated a letter? A team in the preliminary round won the draft lottery. Now, we don't know who it is. So whoever gets bounced in the first round could end up with the first overall pick of the draft. And we'll find that out once the preliminary round is over. So there's some intrigue there. But, you know, hockey compared to baseball, it's a little bit of a different situation. I think the NBA is a more legitimate competitor. I think locally there'll be a lot of interest around the Rangers and Islanders. But I think nationally, I think baseball doesn't necessarily have to worry about hockey the way it does basketball. So while basketball is going through their eight games, you know, baseball is going to have, you're right, that week before the NBA starts, and then another couple of weeks when they're playing the eight games. So baseball did end up getting what we thought they blew, a chance at center stage. And can they impress? And can they win some people over? And will this 60-game schedule create a buzz around people who normally think baseball's kind of dull and too long, both season and games? The opportunity might be there after all.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, and then you also have to hope that, like, maybe you catch a couple of breaks, some lightning in a bottle, you know, an Aaron Judge comes out smoking, you know, something really special. Obviously, you'd love for a major market team like the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers or the Cubs to just be smoking hot, you know, because you can right away, unlike a normal baseball season, this is the only time there's ever been a baseball season that when the season starts, you can see the finish line.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's a great point, too.
Normally, when the season starts, you're thinking about the All-Star break. We'll see where they are mid-July. Yeah. This time, you're going, all right, here we go. After 2 weeks, two teams are hot. You start projecting those two teams as meeting in the playoffs, meeting the World Series. So there is a really great opportunity. I've heard from other people who have not previously been into baseball, not recently. Ebro said this. My dad even said this. Who are just like, I'm curious about it this year. Way more than usual. I've heard that from people who do not watch regular season baseball. We'll see if they actually back it up.
Because the dude out there that's like Carlin, oh, this is bogus. All right, well, he's a baseball fan. And when the smoke clears and the pandemic's over, you know, Carlin's going to go back to being a baseball fan. But if you can win over people that were not baseball fans, who are intrigued by this. I give you as an example. You're somebody that, listen, that's of the four major sports, baseball is not right up there with basketball and certainly not up there with football, all right? And with the Penguins being good, I don't know, maybe you got hockey above baseball. But you seem really intrigued by this. So maybe you're somebody that can get won over. Isn't it better to win over a borderline or non-fan than it is to tick off somebody who's already established that you know ultimately is not going to go anywhere?
That's the thing. Well, that's what we've been saying the whole time.
Yeah. So
the percentage of longtime fans that are going to be ticked off to the point of their checking out is incredibly low.
Yeah.
Incredibly low.
And I've said it, and I'm guilty of this too. I think the only way we really look at the baseball season as being bogus is if two teams play for the championship that you knew would not have played for the championship under normal circumstances. And I'll stand by that from the baseball fan standpoint, but let's get back to the trying to win over fans. You said about maybe there could be something intriguing, like the Yankees getting off to a great start. Do you think the Yankees getting off to a slow start and maybe having to really play hard to get into the postseason?
Ooh.
Could actually intrigue more people around the country than the Yankees just running away with things?
It's a very interesting thought.
And it won't happen, but if you got like a Baltimore or a Miami that got off to a great start and then all of a sudden they become that school in the NCAA tournament you never heard of before and you start kind of rooting for them to kind of make a run, like would that win a lot of people over? The diehard baseball fan to be holding their nose, like, I can't believe the Marlins are playing the Orioles in the World Series. But would that, like, have that kind of Hoosiers feeling around, like, everybody else around the country? Like, this is intriguing. These are teams that would never have a chance, but because of the 60-game schedule, I'm kind of rooting for them. I'm kind of hoping they do something.
If that happened, if you had sort of a bad news Bears, you know, you can't help but picture a lot of people jumping on board and being like, oh, my gosh, this is magic. We're seeing right. something special.
Now, I don't think you want to go overboard where it's two underdogs playing each other. But if you had...
Well, also, don't worry. That's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But if you had, if one of these teams, and I don't think it's going to happen for Baltimore or Miami because these are really bad teams. But if you look at teams like a San Diego, for instance, right? They've been under 500 for a while, but they did get Manny Machado. They improved a bit from the year before they got Machado. What if San Diego's making a run? And they've got a player like Machado to watch and get excited about. Heck, the Angels, they've been a team under 500. They've only gone to the playoffs once with Trout. And now you got maybe the Angels get hot.
Otani's fully 1,000% healthy now, right?
Yeah, he's got to be recovered from the Tommy John now. So, yeah. So you got him coming back from injury. Trout, is he going to stay? Is he going to go with his wife and everything? There can be some very interesting storylines, and it's not taking up a lot of your time. See, that's the problem with baseball is you want me to invest in late March, and then it doesn't cash in for me until October.
Wouldn't it be funny,
what am I investing? I'm investing late July into October.
Wouldn't it be funny if, like, this just blew up the numbers so big to the point that, like, it literally made more fiscal sense to shorten the season?
Well, they would still never do it, so it'd be really frustrating, but you're right.
But why wouldn't they? If ratings were so big and interest was so big that they were like, this actually makes work, you don't think you could see them trimming it down?
No, because the problem, Peter, is we found out with these negotiations that they get 40% of their revenue from the gate. But what if gates were bigger?
What if people did? What if the gates better?
I guess they'll never go to 60. But no. I've always felt that if you went to like 150, if you narrowed it down by 12 games,
that's not enough to make an impact, though.
Probably not, but you also got to be realistic too. You're not going to go down to 100. I mean,
well, that's the number.
Take that many gates away, but I felt that if you came up with a certain number, that yeah, you lost 12 home dates. Let's say you got rid of 24 games or 22 games, right? And you went down to 140 or 135, something like that. That you might have more people per game because now the games have a little bit more meaning instead of like every single day. Come on, how am I supposed to get into this? You'd have more off days. The players would be fresher. Technically, from an analytical standpoint, you wouldn't have as many days off where I'm going to the game and not seeing Judge because he's got his scheduled day off, not seeing Stanton, not seeing Alonso, not seeing Cespedes. That if there are less games, theoretically, Peter, they'd play a higher percentage of the games. I think it would be good. I don't know what the number would be. It wouldn't be 60. So what's the number, Peter, do you think that's realistic where the owners
would help,
can feel
it would
like
help.
It would help financially but still be able to keep where the games have meaning?
How about 120?
Yeah, these numbers don't mean anything anyway. Do you think anybody is going to miss? Because we can open this up, too, 1-800-919-3776, that we won't see a home run record this year, that we won't see an RBI record, we won't see a wins record. Like
we already operate in a world where the home run record has a giant asterisk
right,
next to it.
Exactly.
So
God,
I mean,
you're nailing points.
Thank you. I'm doing a good job today. Now, what about this, too? Wouldn't you love the idea of instead of starting in late March where it's 38 degrees and rainy on the East Coast, you start the game, they start the season April 20th, and you wrap the whole thing up by mid-September, and the World Series isn't in the freezing cold?
Peter, I said that to Kay a couple of weeks ago. It's like, you're so, because he argued the same thing that I'm arguing with you about, that the gate. How many dates do Northeast teams basically throw away?
Oh,
in March
God.
And April, because there's 5,000 people in the stands because it's a 20-degree night. There's snow in the forecast. Nobody goes. Or the game gets postponed, and then they make it up as part of a day-night doubleheader, and nobody's at the day game, and then everybody goes to the night game. So you have like five or six dates that you might as well have just gotten rid of. And then you're right. You start a little bit later in April where the weather is a little bit more cooperating, and then maybe you can end it a little earlier. instead of playing so deep into October where you get meaningful games being played where the weather's compromised.
Well, you're talking about if you were to shave 42 games, Don, you're talking about, what, 50 days? You would need to find basically 7 weeks. You'd be removing 7 weeks from the season. So you could start the season 3 weeks later and end a month earlier.
Yeah, it'll never happen, unfortunately, but it's something worth talking about. What I also want to get into here, to really get baseball going here, is there's a lot of optimism around the Mets. And, of course, the Yankees, it's like a fait accompli. They're going to be good. So it tells you that there's a lot more pressure on the Yankees than the Mets because the expectation is to win. So, Peter, I'll ask you, since you're nailing it today.
Thank you.
What player or players do you think have the most pressure on them if you're the New York Yankees?
Well, I've
got two in mind.
I have three, and I think this is all pretty basic.
Okay.
I think Aaron Judge always faces the most pressure, especially this year. I think people are finally at the point where if he was unavailable or not good for some reason, people would be like, what's up with this guy? Is he our star or not?
What's up, All Rise?
So I think there's that. I think Stanton has been under constant pressure since it started. Now, at this point, you may not look at that much pressure because people now maybe some have written him off. And then lastly, Gerrit Cole. This is a guy, he has to show up and be the guy that you went out to change your team. Those are the three players that I'd say jump out to me.
Those are easily the three, and they're for three distinctly different reasons. Cole's obvious. He's new. And unfortunately, he's not going to get the grace period because he's going to get like 10 starts.
Yeah.
So he can't afford to have like a really bad month. All of a sudden, it's going to be, oh my God, we gave this guy a 9-year contract, and look, he's been awful for us. And that's usually what happens with new players is that there's that now he's not going to get booed or anything because there's no fans in the stands, but there's always that period of adjustment that he just can't afford to have. None of these new players can because a bad month is a bad half a season, basically. So he's going to have that. Judge has the pressure just to be healthy. For whether it's right or wrong, there's just this feeling around him that he's a great player. There's no question, but can I count on him for every game? And with every game being so important, since there's only 60 of them, you can't just have Stanton, Judge a couple of stints on the disabled list that kills you. And then Stan's got one, Peter, because he still has to kind of win over this fan base. Do you know how many people on social media were killing Stan for what happened to Tanaka? Oh, another example why this guy just kills this team.
I didn't even think about that.
Because he's the typical guy that comes over via massive trade or signing where the championship is expected. It doesn't happen, and it's his fault. They don't kill the homegrown guys. They're never going to kill Gleyber Torres. They're never going to kill Aaron Judge. They never really killed Jeter or Mo. They boot him at times. But the pressure is always on the Giambis and the Messinas and the Martinezes because those were the new guys that came over with the expectation that they were the final piece. And I was away with the Twins, you remember, when they got Stanton. And I listened to those shows from the Nick U. And Michael was sounding like LeBron James when he signed with the Heat. Not one, not two, not three, right? It was just, oh, my God, this is it.
It's an
We're going to win 162.
The phrase that I remember using a lot was embarrassment of riches.
Embarrassment of riches. And I remember the promo. And I'm not killing Michael because everybody was feeling this way. I was sitting there at the Nick U saying, God, he's right about all this stuff. And he was rattling off names, and one of the names he rattled off was Bird. It didn't even have an impact because that's the way baseball is. But who gets blamed, Peter? It's Stanton because Stan's the one that struck out all those times. Stan's the one that hit the ball to the wall for the last out in the Red Sox series. So he's going to feel pressure in this season where the expectations are through the roof. You tell me that this fan base is going to cut him any slack at all. Any. None. So there's pressure on those three. Absolutely. Now, the great thing about the Yankees is I don't even think any of those guys are the best player on the team. I think Gleyber Torres is the best player on the team. And I think when you look at him, I don't see pressure because nobody really talks about him. They're always talking about Stanton expectations, Judge expectations, Cole with the big contract. Peter, Gleyber Torres is the best player, and he doesn't get talked about nearly as much. Because he's
true.
Not overpaid, he's fairly new, but you tell me he's not the best player on the team.
Now, he certainly, it's a reasonable argument that, A, that he's the best player on the team. And then even after Stanton and Judge, I would say Gary has more people talk about Gary than Gleyber. You know, especially because people love to jump all over him.
Right. Gleyber's
been consistently good, beloved the whole time, but not the star of the team. Mm-hmm. You know, Gary comes into everything. Sanchez has such a long history. This team's been in bed with him for, what, Don, like 8 years already? You know, going back to when he's a teenager. People don't think he runs hard enough. People don't think he comes up in big situations, even though last year in the playoffs he had a couple of huge moments. But Gleyber, you're right, he just sort of gets to kind of float under the radar a little bit and just rake.
Listen, the Gill phone call was based on Sanchez.
This is Gill.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right, I think you'll be fully engaged in this, Peter, because it's football related.
Okay.
And it's somewhat topical, too, because back, I guess it was on Monday, we discussed, like, when you're a great quarterback, you should get an opportunity to win. How many great quarterbacks haven't had a shot to win? So I thought about it. In the last 20 years, Peter, the top five quarterbacks in those 20 years that have not gone to a Super Bowl in those 20 years.
Wow.
Football!
Well, since 2000.
Yes, football! They're playing football!
The top five quarterbacks over the last 20 years who have not gotten a chance to play for a Super Bowl.
In those 20 years.
Within those 20 years.
Right.
Hmm.
They'd be on your list of the greatest quarterbacks since 2000. And in that, since 2000, did not play in a Super Bowl.
Well.
And I'm phrasing it that way because of one person.
Okay. Well, we'll start with Philippe Rivers.
Philippe Rivers is number two. His numbers are so impressive.
Yeah.
Eight times he's gone to the Pro Bowl. Comeback player of the year in 2013. Has almost been every year of the last 20, right? 2004 right through 2019. He finally left the Chargers and see what he can do in Indianapolis, but he is number two on the list. He's going to the Hall of Fame and likely will go to the Hall of Fame without playing in a Super Bowl. And really only one realistic chance to do it in 2007, when they were in New England in the championship game and lost because he was hurt and on one leg, but he played, and LaDainian Tomlinson didn't play. So that might have been his shot.
You said in the last 20 years, which says to me they went to a Super Bowl more than 20 years ago, but not again after 20 years ago. Would that be correct, Don?
That would
make me think you could be referring to Brett Favre.
Brett Favre is not only on the list, Peter, he's number one.
This is what I do.
This is six. Was that a drop or is that something you just said?
I just said it live.
Okay, because then that could be a drop.
But you know, if we're going to do that, then RG, you got to get Mark Henry screaming, "That's what I do." All right, sorry, go ahead.
Packers, Jets, Vikings, went to a championship game with the Vikings, did not go to a Super Bowl, though. Six-time Pro Bowler between 2000 and 2010. Hall of Famer, Brett Favre. His one Super Bowl came in the 90s, but none in 2000. So now, the rest of the list, Peter, I can phrase it, top 20 quarterbacks in the last 20 years to not play in a Super Bowl.
Did not play.
All of them have played. Did not play in any Super Bowl. Never. Ever.
Never, ever, ever played in a Super Bowl. Now, My guess is the list would have to drop off a bit from where we are at the top to where we get at the end. No?
Yes and no. But there's one guy that he was on his way.
I'm going to need a second here. We're going to need to talk. I'm going to need to think through this.
Okay. That's what we're doing here. That's what we want you to do.
And there's a name that's popping out to me, and I'm guessing it's not going to be there.
Okay.
But with Philip Rivers being as high as 2, I could see this guy being at 5, in spite of the fact that I know the conversation about him is that he's not that great. But when you look back at what he did, although he was on a team that went to the Super Bowl, I was thinking about Alex Smith.
Thought about Alex Smith. Because he almost went to a Super Bowl. Probably could have if not for a couple of fumbles, right? Probably goes to the Super Bowl. But I do not have him on the list, no. But okay. He was thought about.
I'm glad to know he was at least a thought about.
Right.
That means a lot to me. I would like to say Tony Romo.
Thought about him as well.
Oh, he's a thought about.
He lost the face-off to who is at number 5. But you can ask RJ. You can ask Andrew, who I talked to. He was on my list. I got it down to 6. And Romo missed out ahead behind this guy that finished 5. And then we can debate whether I was right or wrong. Romo had a heck of a career. Really good quarterback rating throughout his entire career. Not a lot of yards thrown. No awards. 4 Pro Bowls. But not on the list. But thought about it.
Legit. Well, I'm going to have to work out. I'm going to have to show my work. Like, this is a test, right?
Yes.
There's no one you could talk about in Pittsburgh. There's no one you could talk about in Cleveland.
No.
I don't think Andy Dalton is on your list.
No.
Because if Alex Smith isn't on the list, Andy Dalton would have been the next tier down.
But there was a Bengal thought about.
Oh, there was a Bengal thought about.
Oh, sure.
Over the last... There was a Bengal quarterback, sure. The one before Andy Dalton.
Sure.
Carson Palmer?
Thought about. Not on the list.
Oh, okay. Thought about. Oh, you mean like his name popped into your head?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's thought about.
All right. Well, good for that. Good for you. all right. So there's no Bengal.
Right.
There's no Raven.
No.
There's
one of the 8 divisions. Sorry, go ahead.
There's no Raider. We went over the potential Chief.
Yeah. Trent Green was thought about briefly.
Thought very briefly.
Very briefly.
We talked about the Charger.
Sure. And there's no Bronco.
And there's no Bronco. There's no Seahawk quarterback. Is there anyone really glaring that I'm not thinking about?
Well, it's tough to say. Because one of them you're probably not thinking about that you should. And I thought about not putting him on because his career was so short. Hmm. But I'll give you a hint. The 6 years he was in the league, 4 of them he went to the Pro Bowl.
The 6 year. Dante Culpepper?
No, but you know what? Dante Culpepper was briefly thought about and did go to 3 Pro Bowls.
No, people sort of remove him completely like he wasn't good. That's not true.
No, it's not true. It was short. But no, this one is special. I'll give you another hint. He was a trivia question recently with a Who Am I?
Is he an AFC quarterback?
Oh, sure.
He an AFC South quarterback?
Uh-huh.
No. Not Byron Leftwich.
No.
Not Mark Brunell?
No, not Mark Brunell, no. Not David Carr.
No. Air McNair went.
Air McNair went, yeah. Oh, Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, no.
Boy, you're just missing him.
He's right. I'm obviously hovering over the area.
It's a dartboard in shape of his body. Okay, like You remove his body. There's darts all around the shape of this quarterback. That's how close you are to saying.
So he's
his
a
name.
Jaguar or a Titan.
There's another team in the South, you know.
Oh. Oh. Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought maybe
that 6-year career.
And the reason I put him in there is because it was amazing, right? I mean,
he's great.
4 Pro Bowl comeback player of the year as well. In 2018, but decided to retire. But I do have him at number 4.
So we have 3 of them now?
Yeah. The other one was talked about as much for off the field as on the field. And the other one just is on one of those teams. He's actually the one guy where I said that everybody great will get their opportunities. He might be the outlier where you look at his career and go, you know, if he played for anybody else, he probably would have went to a Super Bowl.
Those and the other one, for as much talked about off the field as yes. on.
Yes.
And it's a quarterback.
Yes.
Who's talked about off the field and on.
He also did something as a quarterback that had never been done up to that point. And he's the one that I struggled with Tony Romo.
Man, Don, this is a hell of a list. I'm invested. I'm sad because I don't think I'm doing a great job.
As a matter of fact, the one that I think you just stuck on the bad team, is that just it? Because if you really look at his numbers, they're very, very good. It's just that he's only been to the playoffs a handful of times, never out of the first round, and his team is just, that's the history of his team. Not quite the Browns.
Oh, how about Matt Stafford?
Yes, Matt Stafford is number 3.
Well,
7 straight years, Peter, he threw for over 4,000 yards. Matter of fact, in 2011, he threw for 5,000 yards and 41 touchdowns.
Well, listen.
He's had 8 years of 20 or more touchdown passes, but he's a Lion.
Matthew Stafford, there's no doubt he is plenty good enough to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
If he was on another team.
Yes.
Because right now, who's a better quarterback? Matthew Stafford or Matt Ryan?
They're in the exact same conversation.
Right, and one was a Falcon with Julio Jones, and you know he goes to a Super Bowl, and one's a Lion. And
now, he did have one of the greatest wide receivers ever, but it wasn't long. And the rest of the team's
stunk. That's a very, very good point. Again, what a day for you.
Well, I got to get this one, though. A quarterback who was talked about as much off the field.
Yeah.
This is haunting me. And how good a quarterback we talking? This is
I'll give you stats. He's a 4-time Pro Bowler, comeback player of the year as well. Could have been in discussion for an MVP.
Oh, Michael Vick.
Michael Vick is number 5. Falcons, Eagles, Jets, and Steelers, 2001 to 2015. Michael Vick. That's the one. Did I do the right thing? Would you have gone with Romo over Vick?
No, Vick is more talented than Romo. There's no doubt. Yeah.
So that's what I went with. I thought about Tony Romo. I thought about Alex Smith. I thought about Trent Green. I thought about Dante Culpepper. But Michael Vick, 5. Andrew Luck, 4. Matt Stafford, 3. Philip Rivers, 2. Brett Favre.
But it's a gorgeous list. It may be the best list you've ever done.
It definitely got you thinking, which is what we like to do. And you got there. You really got there.
We did the work. We did the work, got a little help, cheated, looked over the shoulder a little bit, but I did the work.
Now, quickly, Alan Hahn is our celebrity for Last One Standing today.
And what's the controversy here?
RJ, play what he said about being on Last One Standing earlier today.
What is it, 4:45? I'm jumping on the K-Show to take on Don LaGreca in a little bit of a trivia battle. Just so you guys know, I'm going to tell the listeners now, I'm tanking. Straight up tanking.
Listen, man.
What do you think?
It's all on him, man.
Don't you think I
put it
on,
it's all on the tiller.
How bad would it be if I come on the show and I can't own Donnie on his own show. That ain't right. I'm just going to straight up tank.
I can't own Donnie on his own show.
That's disrespectful. And he's trying to be respectful, but it's being disrespectful.
No, you don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that he was being respectful, do you? That's called a cop out.
No, I thought he was like. I don't know where he's going.
I know what he's doing.
He really respects the show.
No, he doesn't want to risk losing, so he's saying he's tanking out of respect to you. He doesn't want you to actually knock his block off.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show? Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Today, two opponents enter.
I hate Don.
I'm Don LaGreca, sidekick to Michael K.
Only one makes it out.
Let's go with Don!
Who will win this daily competition where the standings don't matter?
What?
We find out.
Okay.
In the latest edition of Last One Standing.
You know what's going on this week. It's a very special Last One Standing. Celebrity guest, friend of the show edition. And, Don's gotten some wins. He's taken some losses. Lost to Dave Rothenberg, of course. Lost to Gordon Damer. Yesterday, beat Brian O'Halloran. Today, he's up against a friend.
Yeah.
Or maybe
more of
a friend
than a colleague, that's for sure.
Maybe a friend of me. We're not sure. His name is Alan Hahn. Alan, welcome to Last One Standing.
How are we doing, guys? I'm not even on the air yet, and Carlin is already trying to, you know, Bogart my time here on this show, which you guys know I value.
What did he do?
He's already tweeting. Like, he can't help himself. This poor guy.
Well, I don't like the idea that
he thrusts himself into the narrative.
He's a big thruster.
He's a thruster.
Don't threaten to tank. We didn't like that.
It's bad. Bad job out of you.
I actually thought it was perfect. It was intriguing. It makes people want to listen. Now they're like, is he really going to tank?
Right. And so that if you win, it's like, well, geez, Don could even beat a guy that was tanking. And then if I win, it's, oh, well, of course Don won because Alan tanked. So please take it all back.
We'll see. We'll see how I do.
All right. Alan goes first, Peter. I believe that Alan goes.
Can I get a Lindy Ruff question, please?
Alan does go first. Alan, you know how the game's played, correct?
Sure I do.
You have one Ask RJ at your disposal.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
We'll start off with something nice and easy for Alan Hahn.
All right.
I wouldn't remember this.
It sounds ominous.
But I would expect Alan Hahn to. Let's play Last One Standing. After 8 seasons with the Knicks, John Starks was traded to this team.
Golden State Warriors.
Final answer?
That's where he started. Yes.
That is correct.
All right.
It's amazing. He started there, and then he went there after the Knicks in between. You know he played for the Bulls? Isn't that weird? Like, the weirdest thing is seeing John Starks. I think of all the teams that he played, because I think he also played another team. Seeing him in a Bulls jersey was weird.
It's so weird seeing players in jerseys of teams that you have no recollection of them being on.
Yeah, it's like Joe Namath in the Rams jersey.
Yeah, it's just
famous
so
picture.
Strange.
Yeah.
All right, Donnie. I think this one's pretty easy for you.
Let's see.
Kurt Gibson hit his famous 1988 World Series home run off which pitcher?
That would be Dennis Eckersley.
Nice.
Final answer.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you, Alan.
Am I ruining for you, Peter?
No.
Suspense. It's like this, the pregnant pause, like the drama. And meanwhile, I'm already congratulating Donnie. You're ruining the show!
Alan.
I'm sorry, I ruined your Black Panther party.
Alan, the Seattle Seahawks are renowned for their loud home crowd.
Mm.
But what's the name of their home stadium?
Oh, my God. See, I was going to say the 12th man. I was feeling all excited about
it. Yeah.
It's like, it's not the Link that's Philly. It's Link.
You haven't asked RJ, I'll remind you.
I'll ask RJ. It's Link something.
Yeah, it's CenturyLink, and I've long suspected that it's not the design of the stadium with the crowd noise. We're going to hear 10 years from now that they pump crowd noise in there.
There you go. Love 100%.
It. I love it. It's a great take.
It's off the ocean.
I don't buy it. CenturyLink.
Thank you. Lock it in.
That is correct.
All right.
You know, it was Link something, you know? I'm always good at the half answer. It's like my SAT score.
That does well for you, I've heard.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Don, in January of 1993, the Bills faced the Oilers in the AFC wildcard game. We all remember it. Buffalo trailed at one point by 32 points and eventually came back to win 41-38. I ask you, Don.
Yes.
Who was the quarterback who led that comeback?
Ooh. That would be Maryland's own Frank Reich. Final answer.
I believe it's pronounced Rich. It doesn't. It's wrong.
Rich. Rich. Frank Rich.
Sorry, we can't accept that answer.
All right. Good job. Good job. Good job.
It's good.
All this show does is winning.
By the way, winning, constant winning. That's all we're about.
That is a great point. There's so much winning. I don't know. What to
so
do.
Much winning. We get bored of it. We try to share the winning. We can't. We have to keep it.
All right. Steph Curry is currently third all time in made 3-pointers. Who are the two former players that are currently ahead of him, Alan Hahn?
Made three pointers. Reggie Miller, Jason Kidd.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Don, you have an opportunity to steal.
Wow. I would rather get another question, unless I'm allowed to get it wrong, but I don't think that'd be right.
Wow, Alan, I'm surprised. It's almost, I feel like you had a weird brain hiccup there. Because Reggie Miller's obviously correct.
You know, why is Jason Kidd on threes coming to mind? There's something else about him with threes that comes to mind. Yeah. But Reggie Miller's definitely on that list. But you're right. I'm going to regret it because I now realize my mistake.
Kidd's it was of course assists, not Jason right? Kidd.
Reggie was on it. There's something about Jason Kidd in threes that jumped into my head. And then, of course, I forgot, you know, I obviously forgot Jesus Shuttlesworth. So
that's correct. It would have been Reggie Miller and Ray Allen.
I again, half answers. This is what I do.
Don has an opportunity for the win.
Wow.
Opportunity. He's got an opportunity.
Big, 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 big opportunity.
Points of light.
Thousand points of light.
Movies
wow.
or people he's impersonated during this show. That should be the trivia question because that was Bush before.
Yeah, that was really Dana Carvey.
That's Dana
Bush.
Carvey.
That was Dana Carvey.
It was terrible. It was a horrifying impression.
We've had a Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Wow.
And,
this is weird.
And then a Trump. So pretty good.
All right. Here we go, Don.
Yes.
According to the NCAA's official website, entering the 2019 season, there were 8 college football stadiums that held at least 100,000 fans.
Eight.
Can you name 4 of them?
Well, Ann Arbor is definitely one in Michigan. That would definitely be the case. I would probably say Nebraska because it's actually got more of a population than the city it plays in, Lincoln.
There's that Lincoln again.
USC. And, oh, man. Does Ohio State have over 100? I'll say Ohio State. So I'll go Ohio State, Michigan, USC, and Nebraska.
Well, Michigan we know is a gimme.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was nice to hear you throw in Ohio State at the end so you could get something correct.
Wow.
Because Nebraska is not in the top 10 or 11. No. And USC is not there either.
Why not? Coliseum? They hold like 400,000 people.
We were looking for Michigan,
Tennessee.
Penn State, Texas A&M, which would be an easy one to
that. How are you asking me a question where Texas A&M has an answer?
Tennessee.
I'm proud. Before you get proud of yourself
and pat yourself
good.
On the back, the last four could have been in your thoughts. LSU, you got Ohio State, Alabama, and Texas.
All right, they're reasonable.
All
right, but so you tell me Nebraska is not reasonable?
I mean, I don't know. Georgia has 92,000, and the Rose Bowl for UCLA has 90,000.
Oh, my God. No, because right. I just remember that stat.
This is like Alex Trebek when he mocks you right. for getting it wrong, and he acts like
you're
it's
a
like
loser.
Common knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I have it in front of me.
But it's like, oh, I mean, how do you not get right. Texas A&M, Don?
I'm all third right. Ferguson.
Yeah, exactly. How long do we have here, RJ, before Yes leaves us? Oh, no, Yes. We're not going to do it.
All
they're
right,
going
well,
to have to.
So let's take this opportunity to tell everybody that's watching on Yes, get to a connected device, get to the radio, because this is going to be fun, because we're gonna
get
keep
to the
going
chopper.
With this thing.
Oh, wow. Now he's doing Schwarzenegger. What's wrong with him?
Yeah, he is so.
You're like he's, as a guest on our show, it's like you turn into Michael Scott. It's very strange.
He's so fired. I just love it. He's fired up.
He's like excited. Date Mike.
You guys know I love this show, right? And I used to love going on it all the time with you guys filling it. Summertime was when we were doing our show.
You're right.
You're Don right. and I, Don and Han, then it was Rosenberg and Han. Like, we would do stuff. Oh, we had so bullpen coyotes. We're doing trivia.
It's true.
I'm like, Pookie, it be calling me. I got to be on the show.
Another movie reference. Another, he can't stop.
Be calling me.
All right, here we go.
New Jack City.
Oh, man. Wish I had a New Jack City question for you.
I'm having so much fun right now. I'm perfectly comfortable taking this into the 5 hour. He's Alan Hahn. He's tremendous. He's fun. He's engaged.
All right, let's finish it on the other
side. Continuation. What's that? Oh, Jeff Passan's next, so forget. Let's go. Hurry up.
All right, we're going to have to settle with
talk
the
about
who am I.
Talk about a guy who can do imitations. He can do what? Elmo, right? So I'm out.
Yeah. Go.
We're going to settle it. No, we're fine. We're going to settle it with a who am I. You ready?
Okay, let's do that.
You have three guesses, Alan. Call him out as soon as you know.
You know how to do this, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, here we go. It's time for a who am I to decide. Last one standing between Don and Han.
Okay.
I am a 9-time NBA All-Star. I have led the league in scoring twice. I am a 1-time league MVP.
Kevin Durant.
I have played for 2 teams in my career.
Technically.
I played 2 years of college basketball. I played that basketball at UCLA.
Oh, man.
Well, here's where it's going to get easy quick. So.
Oh, no.
I have worn the number 0 for my entire career. It'll get even easier, don't worry. I averaged a triple-double in back-to-back
seasons. Russell Westbrook.
Alan. Well, that was weird, actually.
I don't know. I think it's. I'm comfortable with a tie.
Because Alan said
defeated, I said it.
Yeah, Alan said Russell. Don jumped in and said Russell Westbrook, and then Alan said Westbrook.
So when he said, "Who got through the tape first?"
I'll just say,
if we win by a nose, it's me. You all know that.
I will take the tie because this is how much fun it was.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast.
So I guess get up 6 hours ago. Posted a poll, and here's the tweet. In a poll conducted with more than 50 NFL executive scouts and players, ESPN ranked the top 10 running backs for the upcoming season. Number 1, Saquon Barkley. Number 2, Christian McCaffrey. All right, you could have an argument there that maybe McCaffrey deserves one over Saquon, but that's fine. Ezekiel Elliott, number 3. Okay.
Okay.
Alvin Kamara, number 4. Derrick Henry, 5. Dalvin Cook, 6. Nick Chubb, 7. Joe Mixon, 8. Josh Jacobs of the Raiders, 9. Le'Veon Bell, 10. Le'Veon Bell responded to that tweet, all caps, laugh out loud, crying, laughing face. So where do you fall on it? Just like... All right, listen, you got to have confidence in yourself. You got to believe that you're the best.
I have no issue with him taking a shot at it. I certainly would have had him as high as 7, potentially.
Well, he's coming off a season in which he wasn't really used. That's not his fault. And then coming off of not playing at all the year before. So you'd be basing it, basically, Peter, on how you felt about him his last year in Pittsburgh. So that, and you still have him in the top 10, which I think is actually pretty good.
You're right. It's a totally fair place to put him, considering his output the last 2 years. But from his perspective, I totally get why those last few names, he'd be like, really? I get it. I get both sides.
Well, where would you put him? You think he could be seven?
Who'd you say seven was?
I knocked it off. I'm sorry.
Come on, Don. I need better.
Well, maybe if you had it up, maybe you could be better.
Nick Chubb is seven. So I'd be good with him as he, I don't think you could be ahead of Chubb right now, but I could have him at eight.
I have no problem with one through six. If you want to put him at seven. So is it laugh out loud that he's 10 instead of seven or eight? Like, not on the list, then I could see you being upset, but that's a little much. I mean, Henry
well, but
carried
think about
the
like
Titans
this.
To the playoffs.
But think about it like this. It doesn't seem like that big a deal. If we saw a listing of top sports radio shows in the country, and they had us at 10, and we looked and could live with the top five or six.
It's a joke!
You could see yourself being annoyed that you're like, but how are we not 7, 8, or 9?
Why?
Yeah, but again, having not played much last year because apparently the coach has a problem with you, and then holding out and missing the entire 2018 campaign, I mean, really? Where do you expect to be?
It's, yeah.
Well, I'm going to do a list for running backs coming into this season. All right, I'm an executive, I'm a player. All right, I got to pick the top 10 running backs. So let's just say you're in a fantasy draft and you've got to draft running backs, okay? I'm going to pick a guy that has hardly played over the last 2 years, not necessarily his fault last year. But by the way, Adam Gase is still the coach of the Jets and he's still a Jet. Okay, so am I betting that he's going to get more playing time? Right? Do you think it's? Do we just think that Gase is all of a sudden going to play him more? Maybe.
Josh Jacobs had 1 year last year, and he rushed for 1150.
Right.
Nick Chubb, the numbers Nick Chubb ran for last year were better, more yardage than Le'Veon's ever had from rushing. That is ever.
Okay.
So. Chubb's
why do
reasonable.
I have a feeling? Why do I have a feeling that Le'Veon would have tweeted the exact same thing if he was three?
That's also possible. Or certainly five.
And you could have McCaffrey one and Barkley two, right? Were you surprised Barkley's one?
I mean, McCaffrey's been more effective than Barkley.
But, you know, that's...
Barkley's dazzling talent-wise, but McCaffrey does so much.
We'll see if McCaffrey tweets out laugh out loud. Crying face. Medina in the Bronx. You're on ESPN New York. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Peter?
What up?
What's up, Don?
Everything.
What's up, Michael?
He's on vacation.
Oh, so why the show sounds so good without him then? I'm sorry, Michael, just in case if he's listening. But
listen,
I do miss him. Hey, guys, I don't want to sound too Illuminati-ish, right? But okay. I'm a firm believer that the wealthy people are always ahead of the race than us regular folks. Do you guys agree or no?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And some firm of information and investments and stocks and situations like that. And right now, in the middle of a pandemic, we got a quarterback that just got, what, 500? Well, not guaranteed, but, you know, he's got a $500 million deal, correct?
Right, exactly.
And we got a guy, a billionaire, trying to buy the Mets, correct?
Yes.
So if we're so scared, I mean, and I am, everybody should be protecting themselves. Please wear your mask outside. But if we got these wealthy people buying and investing at a time like this, doesn't mean that something that it looks like we could see the light at the end of the tunnel, or is it just me?
I'm going to tell you a story, and I hope I'm not telling this story out of school. Okay, I don't think I am. before this whole thing really took off, sometime in February, Medina, and thank you for the phone call. Peter might remember this. We were having lunch in Michael's office. And Michael was taking a look at some stocks. Because there's a stock that he was keeping an eye on that some of the people at the station invested in. And Michael said, boy, it's interesting, like, where the money's going right now. I think there's a lot of people concerned about this coronavirus. It's like, I think they know something. Do you remember that, Peter?
Yeah, I do.
And it was to Medina's point that they, whether they had inside information or whether they're just so much smarter than we are, which makes sense because they're billionaires, where they can kind of read the tea leaves and see where things are going based on the information that we all have. It's just they're smarter than us and read it better, that they kind of saw what was happening. So can we read into it and say, boy, it doesn't look like the cap's going down to the NFL. Kansas City just threw a ton of money at the best quarterback in football. These leagues are all marching forward, even though we're all concerned. Is this just really smart people that are reading the tea leaves and reading that things are going to be okay? Just like they read it 4 months ago, realizing that things were not going to be okay?
It's a really good point. It's a really hopeful thought.
Well, I 100% agree with that. It's just me kind of hoping, but listen, there are some people that are billionaires because they just happen to step in the right place or win the you-know-what lottery, but a lot of them are in the situation they're in because they're really smart. And we think it's, oh, well, they just have inside information. They're being told things the general public's not being told. I think we're all given information, and some people just assess it differently because their minds work differently. And they can kind of predict the future better because they kind of understand the information better than we do. So are they looking at the way things are here on July 9th and seeing a brighter future than other people? And we're all looking at the same information? Maybe it's pie in the sky for me, but it's an interesting thought, right?
So I would love for that to be true.
Like, for every person who has a cavalier attitude about the coronavirus, who thinks it's just the flu, who thinks this is all for nothing, just overly precautious, everything's going to be okay. Peter, I go to bed at night praying they're right. Don't you? Like, pray. I can't wait for the day where I look like a complete ass for wearing a mask. I don't think I will, but as much as I disagree with those people, I pray they're right.
But do you remember we had that conversation about when reopening started? Let's hope that we're wrong and everyone who just wants to reopen everywhere seems right. And unfortunately, Don, it doesn't appear that we were wrong.
No, but I'm hoping that there's some other stuff, like that things are getting better and trending better. And I think they are in a lot of ways. That's why I do think these sports will move forward, but may not be as fast as we want. But I do think we're going to get to a day where this is going to be over. I think we're going to have to wait a little while longer.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.